the Who's are going to have a very strong showing at trials. There's just a lot of people who have been training like pretty crazy and have, you know, their sights set on really cool things. So I think that at trials, it's going to be a pretty dominant showing from us.
Welcome to Social Kick. I'm Brian Lundquist. We got a partial crew, but thankfully we've got the UVA women filling in for us. I'm Brian Lundquist. We got Dr. John Mullen, and joining us from Virginia, Amy Canny and Ella Nelson. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Good to see you both. Really excited to catch an update on what's going on. But first, we always poll our audience for questions before we join the show. So follow us on Instagram at Social Kick Swim. We've got some questions here. From Joe Adamson wants to know, and feel free to take this, Amy or Ella, whichever one, pancakes or waffles? Which one are we eating?
I would say pancakes for sure.
I'm waffles.
All right. Elise Williford wants to know, what else do you think about during hard sets? What's on the brain?
I like just sing songs in my head. Very much going through.
Amy is literally always singing. I was actually going to say the same thing because it's actually like kind of a, I would say, conflict of interest what playlist we play during practice. So usually we're like either like turn it up if we like the song or like change it if we hate it. So lots of singing and yeah, all that kind of stuff.
All right, I got to know, Amy, what's on your Spotify Wrapped?
Oh, I don't have Spotify. I'm Apple Music. But Big Taylor.
It's all in your head.
Yeah, Big Taylor.
Yeah. All right. Who's the most common DJ then? Who's commandeering that, like aux cord or Bluetooth?
I feel like it's usually Todd.
Yeah.
He has like a playlist that we all like sent song or like a whatever collaborative Spotify playlist that we sent songs to at the beginning of the year. So that's usually like our favorite one. But Jake has some songs that he likes to play that are good. Yeah, usually it's Todd manning the DJ station.
All right, and then we'll finish on this audience question. What is the hardest event to swim?
I had to do like some 200 backstrokes in practice like a few weeks ago, and I literally have not swam that race in a meet in so long, but it was really, really hard. And I know like I've talked to Alex about it a lot, and she, that would be her vote is two back is the hardest one. And I was like, I'm kind of agreeing with you there now. 400 IM is also really hard, but doing that backstroke was really hard.
I don't think I've ever done a 200 backstroke, but I hate backstrokes. So I'm assuming that would be the hardest race for sure.
All right. Well, shout out to Jackson Irvine 5 for sending us that question. And Ella, to the point about the two back, we were just going back through a conversation that we had with Claire like a few years ago when she was talking about how hard the two back was. And it was an event that she would have liked to do, but it never seemed to be on her event order because she was focusing on other events. And then, of course, now she's world champion in that event. So it's pretty wild. What's that experience been like just watching her success at Worlds while you guys are getting ready for championship season here?
I think it like has just added to all the excitement. It's been so fun watching. I think we've like all gotten home from practice and tuned into the live stream at like whatever comes on 11, I think, our time. Yeah, I remember like the first day she started training at UVA and she was going behind me in a set and ripping like just these insane times that I was like, what is even going on? So I can't say I'm surprised at all to see the success coming from for her, but I was watching the relay. I guess it was the mixed freestyle relay yesterday and seeing Kate and Claire like walk out together, just like repping the Who's, and they were so excited and smiling. It just looked like, you know, another day in practice. And it's been like so fun having them on deck, even though they're not like truly on the same schedule as us. It's just like they add so much to the vibe and practice and stuff. It's really fun.
Is that one of those situations where she was like, you were going, oh man, I wonder if she's leaving early. Like she's new to the team and she's like going fast times. So you're like, what is this BS? Like you leaving on the 8?
Yeah, no, it was like that. More like, no, are you leaving on like the 6? Like that fast. It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, I can say the same thing about Kate, but it's, you know, I've been watching it for like 5 years now. But yeah, no, they're pretty crazy in practice.
Well, just to give everyone an update, like we are, it is during Worlds right now when we're recording this. So you mentioned getting together, watching the live stream. Is that, you know, the whole team together? Is that just a few people? Amy, what is kind of the environment like with UVA when you have athletes over at World Champs swimming?
We obviously training schedules crazy and class schedules crazy. For me, like I've just been keeping up, like whatever class I'm in, I just like follow along and like we send in the group like, oh my gosh, did you see what she did? And like, it's just, it's great because we just like feed off the energy. And like, I think we're all so excited to race now, like seeing them and their like block of training that they've done and like we've all kind of done together. So it's like our turn and we're just excited to race as well.
And with ACCs coming up here, I guess, what is the team environment like when you have such a mix of, obviously there's so many great swimmers on your team that are already qualified for NCs, but I'm sure some are, you know, tapering here for conferences coming up. What's the energy like at the team when you have such a mixed bag of people at different positions as far as their training?
Yeah, there's, I mean, I think Blair mentioned the other day she had written like 11 practices that day. So there's a lot going on. And it's kind of just like, you really have to take the mentality of like, I'm going to stay in my own lane. Like I'm going to just go on this path and do what I need to do to get ready for this meet. Yeah, like Amy and I and like a lot of other girls aren't really tapering for ACCs at all just because we're already locked in for NCAAs, but we still get a little bit so that we'll like swim fast to ACCs. And then a lot of girls are tapering a lot for ACCs. And we had like our CAV invite, which is the championship meet for those who didn't make the ACC team. And there was so much fast swimming there. It's kind of just like it happens. Like we just get to these big meets and like it's so exciting that you can't help but swim fast. And so, yeah, we've had, I think we have meetings, probably like single gender meetings every week, probably starting a month, maybe out of ACCs. And just are talking about like our team goals, individual goals, you know, like kind of like how we're going to continue the Virginia legacy that we've started throughout these championship meets. So it's just a lot of excitement. Yeah, there is a lot going on. Like, I mean, we had some people who hadn't been named to the ACC roster make ACCs at CAV Invite, which was last weekend. So they've been like having this kind of crazy schedule this week, trying to get back up from their taper for CAV Invite. And so, yeah, it's a lot going on, but it's just, it's a really fun time of year. I always say like, that's the reason I came back for a fifth year was like this right here, like these next couple months. It's just, it's so much fun.
That those lead-ins at those last chance or first chance meets, they make those championship seasons and championship meets so much more exciting when you see those swimmers that, you know, have just been on the cusp or maybe haven't had their breakthrough moment yet. And then they have it. And it's that one seed that gets planted of the thrill of accomplishment that, okay, like they win a PB or they're like about to, you know, join the team on the travel meet. Because you know that those are about to compound. And when you get to ACCs or you get to NCs, you're going to have a lot of those. You know, the whole team is going to have that moment and experience of the culmination of all the training and the time put in. Amy, I'm curious for you, remind me, did you come in mid-year last year? When did you get to Charlottesville? And like, this has had to be a very different experience for you in year two, just having a full lap around the track and coming into championship season versus that just like fresh newness, what is yards, all of that experience. So has it been different for you?
Yeah. So last year I came in January and I like got like thrown in the deep end, like completely like came in winter training, like arguably the hardest part of the whole season. I'd never swum yards before. So like 200 yards was like new to me. And there was just a whole bunch of new events and stuff, which I like was so fun. Really enjoyed it. This season, I've like kind of changed events as well. So I'm still learning how to swim certain races, but it's just like so like motivating and like so much confidence. Like after the last semester of training I had, and like having a full year of like everything and like actually training yards and like understanding what times I'm holding in training and like what's good and like what's not. But yeah, I'm really excited to race the season.
You mentioned doing some different races, I guess. What are some things that you're, you know, experimenting with and what kind of races are you, like I said, trying to figure out a little bit more as you're transitioning to still, yeah, a year under your belt, but I'm sure still getting used to yards.
So last, when I first got here, I was like mainly doing like sprint based focus, like 50 and hundreds. This season, I think we're like moving more towards like the 200 free, 500 free, been training some breaststroke. So maybe like two reps. But yeah, so lots of different races.
So is that just a thing now? We're going to have some people that can do the 1500 free and then 200 breast as well at UVA?
Not me.
All right. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Such a strange event combination. Yeah.
Ella, you mentioned the, you know, the legacy at UVA, and I believe your freshman year NCAAs was canceled due to COVID, if that was right. And then from there, it's just been, you know, first. So certainly, you know, cementing quite a legacy there. What has been kind of some of the main transitions or, you know, things that have really put UVA on this trajectory that you've seen being inside for this whole you know, run?
Yeah, it's like, it really is crazy to look back and like remember even just when I was being recruited to UVA, because I like vividly remember the first meeting I had with Todd. Like, my parents and I were at UVA for like a little unofficial thing. Mm-hmm. The coaches had been there for like, I think actually it had been 2 weeks. Like, they had arrived at UVA and were starting to coach, but their offices weren't like set up. I remember like Blair took us on a little tour around grounds and got us completely lost. Like, and they just had no idea really anything about the school, anything about the team. But they did have this vision of like what they could do at UVA. And I had kind of like the first like serious meeting with Todd where we talked like scholarship, like what place I would have on this team, like stuff like that. And he was like, in your time at UVA, like, I will take these women to a national championship title. And my parents and I were like, whoa, like, that's a bold statement. Cause I think before that, the highest we had placed was maybe like fifth or sixth at NCAAs. But he like said it with this confidence that was just so like, you just believed him when he said it. And it was so exciting to hear and like something that you just couldn't help but want to be a part of. And so, yeah, I remember my first year, like I was literally just a deer in the headlights the whole season. Like, I couldn't figure out how people went so fast at dual meets. Like, I was just completely shocked by that. Like, I remember, I don't know if you guys know the name Morgan Hill, but she was like kind of a UVA standout, like before this kind of new era. And she would just consistently go 144s in dual meets and the two free. And I was like, how the heck do you do that? Like, it was just crazy. All these things that I was watching and I was so amazed by. And we were like complete underdogs going in NCAAs that year, but we completely believed we could do it. And we were having like meetings about it, you know, like whether it involved with coaches or it was just like us girls meeting together being like, let's do this. Like, let's surprise everyone. And then, yeah, obviously it got canceled, but we like to think that we would have gotten that championship if it had happened. And then really, it's just like, I feel like we're just such like a well-oiled machine now. Like, we don't like, I don't know, the coaches are like there to kind of guide us, but like, it's really just us like going out there and having fun and doing our thing. And like the practice environment, that just like, that's a big part of it. But I think it's also like outside of practice, like we just like mesh together so well. And like, it's hard to like say how it is, but it's just like, we just work together so well that it comes out and meets, and yeah, we get great success.
One story, you know, like I said, hearing Todd say that, hearing it is one thing. I'm sure a lot of coaches probably say similar-ish things to recruits. Now, it's always different depending on how long the coach has been there. But maybe, do you recall anything, whether it's a practice or a dual meet, when you're like, man, this is clicking. Like, this, we really can win a national title. And obviously with the COVID year, that kind of goofed things up that year. But does anything stand out from that year? Like, wow, we really are rolling.
Yeah, I think it always like kind of comes together at midseason, because up until then, like, it's always the travel roster that will go to these dual meets. And so like, you're not getting like the whole team, like, cohesive feeling. And sometimes it's like just a men's meet or just a women's meet. But then like, when you get to invite, it's all together. And like, I remember getting there and like just dropping crazy, like all the first years were dropping crazy amounts of time. And I think that was when we were like, holy crap. Like, I mean, it's just like Kate Dundas, like she wasn't even like a huge name. I mean, she probably was the top recruit, but like wasn't going any like 148s in the 2IM or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like she was dropping crazy amounts of time. Like we were just all kind of swimming like beyond our physical limits could have ever like predicted. And I think at that point we were like, wow, this is going to be really good. And then also at ACC, it's like, that's kind of when the really fast swimming comes out. And so we kind of like, it's always been a thing that whoever wins the UVA NC State dual meet goes on to win ACCs. And so I remember like that year we had won the dual meet and the year before we hadn't won the dual meet. So it was like kind of a good sign for us. And then we went on to win ACCs and that was just kind of like got the ball rolling and set us up for a really good next, I guess, 4 years, hopefully 5 years.
I feel like, you know, anybody who's been part of a successful college program, I remember having, you know, I was part of an Auburn run that won every year that I was there. And so like, I remember having those exact same things, like specifically the 200 free when I showed up and people were going 135s in a brief and dual meets in season. I'm like, I can't even fathom, you know, being able to do that. And then you just like you assimilate into the culture and realize what they're doing on a daily basis. And then that plants the seed to say, OK, this is how you get there. And you start to break down that path to fast. I'm curious kind of what that has been for you. Like, it's so crazy to read through the results at NCs and especially like Ella, looking at your contribution from a point standpoint across the board. Like, I think you got these finishes right. Second, third, fourth. But you're part of a team with Kate winning all our events, Gretchen 1-1-2, Alex 1-2-3, and then like obviously Claire's coming in, and you know Amy making a final last year, and I think it's that level of contribution is, you know, maybe different from where it started, and so I'm curious, like, what were some of the foundational blocks for you, Ella, to get to that point of contribution to this leadership position amongst the team? You know, were there like some specific sets and moments that went, you know, oh, I can hold this pace, or whoa, like that built that confidence in you to just be able to progress up to the level where you are now?
Yeah. I mean, I seriously think I owe it all to my teammates, like those three girls and, you know, a dozen other girls those three girls that you just mentioned and dozen other girls that I've gotten to train with like over the last 4 years. Yeah, it gives you a lot of confidence when you can even hang 1 or 2 seconds behind Alex or Kate in an IM set or those girls in a breaststroke set or Gretchen. I don't train with her that much, but like when I get to do a little bit of like threshold freestyle with her or something, it's just like literally trying to stay as close to them as possible. And like we have certain sets that it's like on Saturday mornings, it's like 2-stroke. So it'll be like all the flyers go together, all the backstrokers together, and then all the women breaststrokers will be at the back of the lane usually. But, and Amy's joined that group this year, which is fun. But it's like, yeah, you'll touch the wall and you'll hear like just crazy times read out for everyone. And it's like, it's just, yeah, it's just a crazy training environment. Like, I obviously trained with Alex all through high school also. So like we know kind of exactly how each other works. And I like find so much comfort in having her in training and then like even more so in races. Like I know exactly how she's going to swim that 400 IM or that 200 IM. So it's like, it really is just like so amazing having them push me and practice every day. Cause I'm just literally trying to stay as close to them as possible. But I think it's like, it's just made me, you know, get to these points of like, you're talking about being able to contribute to the team that much. And those are really my only goals ever going into championship season is like, I want to score as many points for the team as possible. Which I think like, I've never been a super like times oriented person. Those have never been like really specific goals for me. So I think just like taking the pressure off of that and like putting it towards like just a bigger, something bigger than myself, has been something that has been really easy to do at UVA, just because you're surrounded by all these people who are pushing you to that level.
Mm-hmm. Amy, the experience must be way different for you. Like he said, you came in from South Africa, you came in mid-season, you're not familiar with yards. I guess tell us a little bit about your journey and how you even heard about the UVA program. I'm assuming just knowing some of the, you know, international swimmers on the UVA team or some of them that are on the national scene, you know, you kind of learn a little bit about them. But I guess what was it like coming to UVA? And then also what's it like coming into now a culture that's established, winning NCAAs these last 4 years?
I heard like UVA through, like I was recruiting through the college process. And like, they were always like my number one, like I'd always seen. It was funny because we were talking about this like at breakfast the other day. Like I was at Junior Worlds when Maxine and Gretchen like won one and two, I think in the 53, I came like fourth in that race. So it was like, I had raced them before and it was just so cool. It's like really was like a full, 360 when I like came here, and I get to like race with them. But yeah, it's just been like when I came in, I mean, I felt like a lot of pressure, obviously, because I mean, like you're swimming with like some of the best swimmers in the world, especially with like relays when you have to like anchor a relay. And you have like Gretchen, Alex, and Kate, you know. But yeah, no, you just feed off that energy. Yeah, you just feed off that energy, and it's kind of like everyone has your back, and you know that like no matter what happens, like you give your all, and like that's really like one thing I've like learned through this team is that like everyone has your back, and like if you have fun, like you're gonna swim fast.
You've both mentioned recruiting. I was thinking back to Ella, you talking about Blair getting lost. And I feel like we've all had some weird recruiting moments, especially if you've been around a number of recruiting trips. And what's the weirdest thing or craziest story you've had either being recruited and going somewhere as a recruit besides UVA or even like, you know, hosting recruits? And I'll preface this by saying, like, I remember specifically Greg Troy, who coached at Florida for a long time. Some of my future Auburn teammates were all on the same recruiting trip to Florida together as well. And I remember him coming up to everyone in the whole trip. And his catchphrase was, "So what do you say?" That was his check-in to see, like, how are you enjoying your time? But it became a running joke amongst all the recruits, some of whom ended up going to Florida, but a lot of whom didn't. We were just like saying, "So what do you say?" to each other. So they're like, "Who says that? I don't." Yeah, I like, "I'm still having a good time." He must have said it to me 8 times during a 48-hour period.
That's really funny.
Do you remember any? No, I mean, I didn't really recruit. Like, mine was all. I hadn't even been to the school before I came.
What about a crazy recruit? There's another guy that I ended up swimming with for a while. His name was Rory Connell. Shout out Rory, who ended up being a tremendous swimmer, but he was like a handful to deal with when we were hosting him. And so I remember him doing like a Chinese fire drill in the middle of an intersection, and we're like, this kid's going to get killed, like running around in the street, and we're responsible for him. And then when we came, truth be told, we came to the team meeting and there was a recap afterwards. And we said, you know, you kind of give like your feedback. If you hosted a person, what were they like? Are they going to fit as part of our culture? And you already highlighted how big that is to be a part of this culture and team. And we all voted no, and we said no, but he was so good that the coach still brought him on, and we're like, okay. And he ended up being great. So maybe the coach's vote just weighed more in that moment. But like, what is that process like though for you to come together and have like an evaluation of like, okay, that they need to be a part of like what we're all about? Because, you know, well, we need to be able to look at the stands and have alignment with the rest of my teammates, or, you know, to have that right cohesive nature that, Amy, when you're stepping into the new environment and you've got, you know, stars that you're coming in and they're expecting, you know, you to perform well, you got to have that great camaraderie, communication, and gel really well. So what are those types of conversations like? Where you're like, okay, well, who's going to fit in our team and who's the right person, maybe not?
Yeah. I feel like the coaches have a pretty good radar for that, but they're also extremely receptive to our feedback. Like you said, you know, at the conclusion of recruiting weekends, you know, we'll send in, usually they're super positive. Like usually it's texts that we'll send to Todd that he'll then send to the recruit and be like, oh my God, the girls loved you. Like, please come here type of thing. I like seriously can't think of any negative texts that I've ever sent post recruiting trip. It's usually like, they were awesome. Like we had such a fun time. We'd love for them to be a Who. But yeah, that's kind of how it goes. Is Todd will send a text and it's like, give me any feedback. Obviously he wouldn't send any negative feedback to the recruit, but usually it's like, him passing on the words that we've expressed about those girls, and wanting them to, you know, become a part of the family and be able to contribute to the future of UVA. But yeah, can't think of any like crazy or funny stories. Might be blanking, but I think it's gone pretty smoothly. I guess the men's recruiting these past few years has been pretty exciting to follow with the Revolution. I don't know if you're familiar, but
yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the internal dialogue with the team is, maybe on the women's team, because obviously I think you're alluding to you know, the number one and number two men's recruits signing with UVA, with Heelman and Maximus Williamson, one of the best names around. So tell us a little bit, maybe how this is transitioning into the men's side.
Yeah. In addition to the story about Todd saying that he would, in my meeting with him, that he would bring the women's team to a national championship in the 4 years that I would be at UVA, he also said that he would bring the men's team to a national championship within 8 years. So if we're going along the same trajectory as the women's team, things are looking pretty good for the guys. It's been really exciting to watch. I think like us just being able to watch like the boys get so excited through this process has been just like, I don't know, it just makes me like giggle, and like they just get literally so excited about it. And obviously like this is kind of more like, obviously these guys are really, really fast, but it also just symbolizes kind of like a new beginning for the guys team, which is really cool to watch because that's kind of the way that I felt at the beginning of my career at UVA. So I'm really excited to watch. It's you know, kind of eager for them to get here and start training with all the guys who are already here because they tear it up in practice every day. And I know it'll just elevate the training environment. So it'll be really fun to watch.
Man, it seems like he needs to buy a Powerball ticket. He's turning into Nostradamus potentially.
Yeah, at this rate.
Amy, what'd he tell you? How many Olympic gold medals did he tell you you're going to win?
All of them.
Yeah.
You're going to win every gold medal.
Yeah, my recruiting was like a little different. It was all over Zoom. But I remember like that was the year that they were like supposed to win NCs, and it was like super exciting, and it was like such a great like there was just so much to look forward to, and that's like really what sold it for me when I committed.
Amy, how many times have you done that flight from South Africa to the US? How brutal is that?
Actually not that many times. I haven't been home since August last year, so I will be going back in like 6 weeks for my Olympic trials, which is like right after NCs. So it's a little bit of a lot of training happening between that. But yeah, so.
What's the plan for preparing for that? And how much long course are we doing throughout the season? And I don't know, what's the game plan for that? And then also, what's the process like for Olympic qualifying for your trials?
So we like UVA does a pretty good job like throughout the whole like of last season, especially like we do a lot of long course and a lot of short course training. This past like maybe what, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks has like all been short course just leading up to ACCs, and then I think we'll go back to like some long course after NCs. But my trials, like I just have to get like a qualification time basically, so when I go back.
Yeah. Okay. So are you focusing on multiple events there? Are you focusing on two free? What's the plan?
Yeah. So two free is like my main goal. I'm also doing IM and full free, 100 free. Yeah. So quite a few. Yeah.
So you're trying to get like qualifying times in all of those events, but that's the main thing. Like that's the only thing that really matters. Just get the time and go.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Got it. Now, what's the story with South African funding, too? I feel like we've had some conversations a while back, like Roland Schoeman talking about like historical funding issues or, you know, like maybe not even fielding a complete team. But I'm not familiar with what like the status is, you know, today in 2024. So, you know, is there a coaching staff for Olympics and is there, you know, a full roster team? Do you feel like when you go and get those times that you've got the complete support of the federation to be able to go to international meets? What's that whole situation like?
So I think for Worlds, it's a little different. I'm not sure like how that worked because I didn't go this year. But I know for Olympics, I'm pretty sure we get funding and I think like there will be like a big coaching staff going. I know last Olympics was like that. And that like will come out after, I don't know when the closing period ends, because I think we can qualify at nationals and then there's a period afterwards that you can qualify. It's not like US nationals where like we don't have enough people qualifying, so there is still time to qualify and get those times. But I do think we will have funding for like Olympics. Yeah.
Awesome. And then Ella, what's your mind on? Do you have any eyes ahead to what's beyond NCAAs? Are we locked into college season? What's your mindset here this year, 2024?
So I'll do the college. I'll finish up the college season, and then I'm gonna keep training through trials. And then hopefully get a job. I'm getting my master's right now in biotechnology, so kind of been doing the part-time job search throughout this whole year, but yeah, it's kind of a crazy transitional year for me. Honestly wasn't sure if I was going to take this fifth year all of last year, but I finished the college season, finished NCAAs, and I was like, bitch, it's just not time yet. Like, this is so much fun. I had a lot of confidence coming out of NCAAs and I was just having a lot of fun with the sport and kind of just had this opportunity to stay at UVA another year, continue my education here, which is also something that I really value. Get to be with my teammates another year, and then kind of just tie everything up with Olympic trials, which just, it kind of just felt like the perfect ending to an amazing, whatever, 18, 17 years of swimming. Yeah, very, very glad that I made that decision to stay for another year. And yeah, hopeful that trials will go well. I don't exactly know what well means, but still have long course goals, I guess, is my point. Looking forward to kind of transitioning to that after NCAAs and setting my mind on something a little bit different. So yeah.
Like we've been talking about, Ella, you've been there and been through a lot of amazing things that have happened on the swimming side. Does any one thing stand out or like that's got such a strong memory that I'll never forget, maybe on the pool side and then maybe one outside of the pool team with the team?
Yeah, I mean, the first NCAA title was probably the one that sticks in my head the most. Just because we had just like poured so much of our heart and souls into that the whole year and the whole year prior, because that year had gone canceled. And we knew we could do it, but it was just a matter of convincing other people that we could do it. So it was really exciting when that all finally came together. And I think it kind of symbolized like the beginning of this legacy that I've been talking about, which just like gives me chills to even say that and talk about it. Also, I think that last year's 800 free relay was really, really exciting for us because we had no idea how it was going to go until we literally started thinking about it when Todd made the decision to put Alex on it. Like, I don't know, maybe what was it, like a week or two before the meet? I don't know. It was just kind of all up in the air who was going to be on it. And it was the only relay that we hadn't won the year prior. And I remember Gretchen having a really funny quote. It was like, I might've asked her like, how can you guys even build off of this like amazing year? And she was like, well, we didn't win all the relays. Like, we still have one that we need to win. So that was kind of like are the fool behind that race. We were like, we'll get it for you, Gretchen. But it was just like, it got the ball rolling for that meet last year. And, you know, like we truly had no idea what Stanford was going to do. And so it was like, it was just a really exciting race. And it just, yeah, it got the meet rolling for us. And then also Olympic trials when Alex and Kate qualified in the 200 IM together in 2021. I don't think I'll ever be able to forget the ending of that race. It was just like so crazy and surreal. So that was really cool too. But yeah, those are three that I think live rent-free in my brain forever.
All right, next we're going to get into some team personalities just to get to know the UVA women's team a little more. So we're going to put you two on the hot seat to answer some questions about the teammates, okay?
Okay.
All right, Amy, who would you say is the class clown of the UVA team?
Abigail Capella.
Well, that was easy. You agree, Ella?
For sure. There's a lot of them, but she's probably the ringleader. Yeah.
All right, what's an example, or why is this such an obvious choice? Give us something that she does.
I can't even explain it. She just has this like incredible personality and like kind of literally not afraid to say anything and everything. She's just always that person in the lane that's like got the whole lane just in tears, like cracking up, like when you're trying to swim and you're like limp because you're laughing so hard and you can't swim, kind of that situation. Yeah, just like the best outgoing, like sunshiny personality. I can't even explain it.
All right. Who's most likely to start a $1 billion company, Ella?
I would say Gretchen.
I was going to say Gretchen too. Yeah.
She's Miss Businesswoman. She's always had this like incredible knack for numbers, and like she's like the smartest person I know in like the weirdest way, if that makes any sense. Like she's just like, I don't know, she really thinks about things hard, and she's also in the business school, like wants to make a lot of money, so I wouldn't put it past her to do it.
All right, Amy, who's most likely to be late to practice?
Alex, yeah, sure.
Alex is so slow at everything but swimming. it's crazy. It's astounding. I like in high school they had to take separate cars to practice because like Alex just wouldn't be out the door in time. I think she actually still rides in a different car than the rest of her apartment in college sometimes. She never gets in late anymore because that wouldn't be acceptable. But
anymore.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Wait, what's the team punishment if you do get in late? Is there one?
I don't know. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, no one really gets
in late. Yeah, I mean, people will come in late if they've had class or something, but usually that's like
a reason.
Yeah, prior figured out situation. But yeah, I really don't think it's ever happened. I mean, people will like oversleep their alarm and they'll just have to make up the practice. But yeah, nothing like humiliating or anything.
There's no like team punishment if that one person is late to practice and they just like make it up.
I think like one time, maybe first semester of this year, a boy showed up late for Dryland and he had to like run the whole time, but it's not like super crazy.
All right, Amy, what swimmer and race are you most excited to see at conferences or NCAAs this year?
Maybe like to see some of the first years, like Kavin and Tess swim. Like Kavin's 5-3, 2-3. Same with Tess, so backstroke and butterfly. Like they train so hard and they train so fast. So I'm really excited to watch.
How about you, Ella? Anyone on your list?
I'm not just saying this because she's sitting right here, but I love watching Amy swim. Her 500 mid-season, well, was it your first time swimming it? Yeah, and I think she put on the jets like with the 75 left and split like 26-0 on the last 50 or something. And it was so exciting to watch. And you frequently do that in your races. So I love, it's like, it's so thrilling to watch. Her. And then I would agree with the first years. It's, you never know what to expect, but it's always good. So.
All right, Ella, if you're trapped on a desert island with one member of the team, who would it be?
I'm going to give a shout out to my roommate. She's sitting out there. Maddie Donahoe. we've lived together for the past 4 years, I guess. We weren't first year roommates, but lived together the last 3 years of undergrad and then this year. She's knowledgeable about a lot of things, knows a lot of random things. So I think that would come in handy, but like also she just like would always have my back with anything. So gotta say that.
And then from the UVA women's team, who's most likely to be a swim coach?
That's interesting. From the women's team?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think like it's kind of a fun part. This is kind of a side of this answer, but we all love swimming when we're at the pool, but outside of the pool, like I would say we're rarely focusing on it or talking about it. I don't know. I might say Maddie. I don't know though. And no one is like really sticking into my head about that one though.
Yeah, it's not that common amongst the women usually, it seems, but we've had this kind of ongoing dialogue with some elite women swimmers in the last few years that we've had on the pod and just talking about like getting more women into the coaching ranks, and shout out to those that are having a lot of success because we have seen some, but it just doesn't seem like necessarily something that's like the career path of choice. And it almost seemed like you were about to have an answer ready. And then you're like, well, actually, what about like any of the women? So are there some of the men that you think are going to be coaches?
I could see some of the men. I know like at the beginning of the season, we'll have captain's practices before like, I guess the like, 8-hour weeks or whatever start. Jack Akins, he could be a good swim coach. He's the one that really popped into my, that was like going to be my one answer. I could see a few of them like in that. But yeah,
because he's good at a whistle twirl or watch twirl.
And like he's written some really good practices that just like you could see it like flowing, you know, well for him and being easy for him to write them and stuff. But yeah.
What's that dynamic like? Do you have an opportunity to be really hands on with your training plans? You know, just having that ability to do that, I think, is not necessarily commonplace amongst a larger group of swimmers. But at this point in your careers, how much influence do you have over what you're able to do in the water, what the plan is, what like emphasizing to your coaches, what your needs are, and even thinking through like, Amy, how did you end up in the breaststroke group?
Todd's a big like believer in like when you swim happy, like you swim fast. And I know that like my race has kind of changed. Like we spoke about how like we do this thing called the Sprint Olympics, and that's like kind of how he was like, oh, you can like swim breaststroke. I just started training that because he kind of was like, I think you can swim breaststroke, and I think you can do well in it. And I was like super happy to do something like other than freestyle. And I do train IM. I'm like pretty, I do kind of what Alex does, and I kind of switch between Blair's group and Todd's group. So I do like half practices between like mid distance and sprint. And I think that like is a really good schedule for me because I really enjoy doing both. And I think like having a breakup of both is really good. And like when I do feel like there's something missing, like I can talk to Todd about it and be like, I think I'm missing, you know, like a sprint practice. And he can tell me like, hey, I don't think that's a good idea, or like, you know, so I think there's a really good like open communication between the coaches and the swimmers.
What is the Sprint Olympics?
It's like is it 50? Yeah, we do a 50 of each stroke, all out like sprint. When do we do it?
I think it usually is between ACCs and NCAAs. So kind of like after we've gotten like killed for a week or two after ACCs, and then it's like kind of trying to get our speed back. I don't do it, so I can't really speak on it, but I do watch it. But yeah, I think is it like the fastest add up of all four?
Yeah, you 50s, add up your times. Yeah, all the times, all the 50s, which is great fun. Yeah.
Both of you have mentioned Blair Bachman, the associate head coach at UVA. Could you talk a little bit more about maybe her part or integral role of the team, and maybe just the impact that she's had? A lot of times we hear about Todd and his impact, but Blair's been there, I believe, the whole time, with this whole rise. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about your perspective on her involvement.
Yeah, I seriously cannot speak more highly of her. She's been my primary coach for all 5 years. And I would say I'm actually one of probably five or 10 people who don't really switch around groups too much. I kind of fit like perfectly into the mold of that like mid-distance group, mid-distance IM and stroke group. So she's been, directing my training plans, my taper plans, managing just me as like the whole swimmer, student athlete person these past 5 years. She's just amazing. She's like, I trust her so much with my swimming that you asked if like we, have like dialogue with our coaches of like changing our practices and giving them feedback of what we want and what we don't want. I definitely like feel like I could do that with Blair, but I don't need to, because I trust what she gives me, and that she knows what I need. And it's worked. Like, it's worked these past 4 years, and I have no doubt that it's gonna work this year too. But yeah, she's just, I also have loved having like a female coach as my primary coach. It's just like you get that added level of connection on a personal level, and get that extra support that you need whenever you need it. And yeah, it's also been really cool to watch her like personal coaching career unfold and develop as I've been here. She's, was at Worlds and has coached people to the Olympic teams. So I'm her biggest fan. She's awesome. And yeah, we have like just such an amazing staff here that I think I speak on behalf of everyone, that we all just feel like we get exactly what we need and can ask for more or less or different things. Yeah, it's just awesome.
Do you guys have any championship season or NCAA meet rituals, traditions that you're excited about coming up?
Yeah, I guess we always make posters before the meet. So we made posters last night for ACCs. For NCAAs, we always think of like a motto, I guess, for kind of that like encapsulates our goal / just like our mindset going into the meet. Can't unveil that one yet.
Yeah.
But we do that, and then we also like have a song that goes along with it that we'll like play when we're having like team meetings right before we leave for like final sessions and stuff like that. We actually just settled on our song yesterday. But yeah, those are some fun things. At NCAAs, we do like little skits on the night before the meet starts, where like the first years all have to like be another person on the team or like a coach and do something funny. I don't know, it just gets us all laughing and loosens us up a little bit. But those are always really funny. Are there other ones? Oh, we all like do like kind of like a Secret Santa thing, but for like championship season. So we'll like draw a name of another person on the team and like deliver them little goodies and like make them a poster and stuff before the meets and stuff, just stuff like that.
All right, well, let's hear it. Amy, let's hear a Todd impersonation. And Ella, let's hear a Blair impersonation.
Oh, no.
Just say anything loud or scream. Or,
yeah. All right. You guys don't have to do it. I won't put you on the spot.
Wait, hold on. No, I want to know, like, who actually – is there someone on the team who does a good impression of the coaches or of any of them?
I feel like you could probably get a good Todd impression out of Gretchen.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I'm not thinking of anything like that Blair could do, but yeah, Gretchen's a pretty good at that kind of stuff.
I'm curious to know amongst your coaches though, what are some of the things that who's got the quirks and what are some of those quirks?
They all have a lot of quirks. Yeah. I walked into the, so we do dry land like upstairs in our facility on like basketball courts, and we always are playing music and stuff up there. And then when we come down to swim, the coaches like go and regroup in the office before they come out on deck. And I went to the office to get like a new cap before the coaches were out on deck, and they were like in the office with the, it's not a big office either, like maybe the size of my room, like total. And they had the speaker turned up like full blast, and we're all just screaming at the top of their lungs, like singing. And I was like, what is going on? I don't think they saw me because I just kind of snuck in and got a cab and walked out. But like, they're always like having fun, laughing about something. I don't know.
What song were they singing?
It was last week. Oh, what's the one? I'm gonna know, baby.
Oh,
I don't know what it's called. It's like the catchphrase is "I'm vanilla, baby," but they were like singing that song. I don't know. It was just like a crazy sight to see. Todd, I mean, yeah, like he's always just screaming or like,
yeah, a lot of energy on play, yeah, all the time, even at like 7 a.m. Like,
yeah. Yeah, never looking for something to laugh about. There's always someone doing something funny or whatnot.
Back to swim meet traditions. One thing that comes to mind is the V on the shoulder. And obviously that's a very clear thing that the team is doing. Do you know when that started and you know what kind of got the ball rolling for that?
I have no idea when it started. But it's always been like a big emphasis on our team that like we're doing this for something bigger than ourselves. And like you're doing it for the V on your cap and the V on your back. Like you're not doing it for yourself, your parents, your coaches, whatever, like you're doing it for each other. So I think it's like just kind of a unifying symbol that brings us together at meets. And like reminds us what we're doing it for, which is each other, and kind of gives us just this bigger reason to the why behind it all.
All right, we got a few rapid fire. Maybe some of these are rapid, maybe some of them aren't so rapid, but we'll bounce around on some of these and then we'll let you go. So we already covered our traditional what's the hardest race in swimming earlier, so we'll pass that one, but we'll start off with Amy, Olympic gold or world record?
Olympic gold.
Really? Completely.
Ella, would you say something different?
I don't know. It's an interesting one. I don't know what I would say. Either. Well, both.
here's one that actually had me pondering more lately, which is, especially watching the world championships, is would you rather have an Olympic medal on a relay or an individual world title?
Hmm. I think Olympic gold on a relay.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Still the Olympic on a relay. Okay. Yeah. Ella, are clear goggles okay?
That's really funny that you asked that because Amy's been wearing clear goggles all week. And it's like, it is so funny. No, I hate them.
I'm going to make fun of the whole week.
No.
But I told her before... before the meet on Tuesday, she's going to have to change those.
It's just so cringe. I say that and I have a fresh pair of clear goggles that I'm about to pull out of the package. So I'm with you, Amy. Don't you worry. Okay. For everybody, do you pee in the pool?
Yes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I think she's lying.
All right, Ella, when you retire from swimming, what's one thing you're definitely not going to miss?
I'm not going to miss. This is super specific, but I actually think about it a lot, like having to take off my jewelry before I get in the pool. I'm really not going to miss that.
Are you someone who wears a lot of jewelry?
No, I wear like one necklace and a few rings, but it just, it's like, I don't like taking them off and like they always get lost. And yeah, just, it's just something that's going to be nice to not have to deal with.
It's that tiny necklace clasp that's so annoying.
Yeah, it is.
I get it. All right, Amy, what's the most impressive swim that you've ever seen in person?
Maybe when at the Olympics, Tatjana Skunmaka Albrecht, like Slapping Breaststroke, broke the world record in the two breasts. That was a great race to watch.
Yeah. Ella, what about you?
There's a lot, but I think I would probably have to say, oh God, any of Gretchen's like records, there's a lot of them, but I just like, I love watching her swim because it's just like, she just flies through the water and it's really cool to watch.
Okay. A little, superstition. What's the weirdest like pre-race superstition or tradition that you've seen a teammate or someone have?
I don't know.
Anybody do anything weird? Like not wash their clothes for a while?
I remember Paige Madden had like a really weird thing, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know what it was, but I was like, that's really weird.
All right, we'll save that one for later. Have you ever cried in practice?
Yes.
I don't think I have, actually.
You never cried?
I don't think so.
I think my first week that went to training was.
But Amy got thrown right. I think her like second practice was a long course red set with Blair's group.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Horror stories.
Amy had also like, she was staying in my apartment when she first got here from South Africa because dorms were closed over the break. And I was like really, really worried about her. Like I would never see her come out of her room. I wasn't really sure she was eating. Like,
yeah, I was so jet lagged. I had like, maybe I arrived on like the 27th. I was training on the 28th and it was just like straight into it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about clear goggles is people are going to see you crying.
That's why. Luckily, I didn't have them at the time.
All right. Amy, if you could have like a partnership with any brand for an NIL deal, what would you choose?
Some like luxury, like bag, like Prada or like, yeah, it's a good one.
Leon Marchand have one with Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
We all are like, that's so cool. That'd be pretty sick.
That's pretty wild. What would you pick, Ella?
I think probably that one.
Something premium like that.
Yeah.
All right. This one's for both of you. What's one prediction that you have for either NCAAs or trials or the Olympics? Across, it doesn't have to be a teammate, anybody. What's just like something that you think is going to happen?
I'm trying to think. I think just like in general, the Hoos are gonna have a very strong showing at trials. There's just a lot of people who have been training like pretty crazy, and have, you know, their sights set on really cool things. So I think that at trials, it's going to be a pretty dominant showing from us, which will be cool. And in South Africa, Amy's trials.
Well, what just happened literally a few moments ago at Worlds is any indication, Kate just broke the American record in the 50 free, 23.91.
Oh my God. Yeah. See, I'm not even surprised. Yeah. Did she win? Second?
Yeah.
23.69, I think, from Sostrom.
Wow. Ugh. I think she's probably pretty happy with that one.
Wozzeck under 24, too. 3 under 24. That must be, like, maybe the fastest heat ever, the 53.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
So filthy.
Okay. Yeah.
It's on. Championship season is coming. All right. The last thing that we got to know, of course, is how often are you guys doing social kick in practice?
Every day.
Yeah. In the warm up every day.
Yeah. If not in warm up, then in warm down. But yeah, we love a good social kick.
As do we. Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Super fun to get to chat with you both. Really excited to watch both of your individual swims as well as the team performances coming up. Not only NCAAs, ACCs, even if you're not rested, that's cool. You're still going to get in there and mix it up. So we'll be rooting for you and welcome back anytime. Thanks so much for spending the time.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this episode of Social Kick. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you're enjoying Social Kick, tell your friends about it. And be sure to tell us what you liked by leaving a comment and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Instagram. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Social Kick. And you can find all of our content on our website at thesocialkick.com.